Praise the Lord. Now, everyone probably got a sheet of paper. Yeah, let's do something with this. If you didn't get one, maybe somebody can give you one. How many of you know how to make a paper boat? Yeah? Let's be like little children today. Let's make a paper boat. I don't know how many of you went to kindergarten. Let's have fun in church. I want to make mine. And maybe people watching online, they can also try it. Get a sheet of paper and make a paper boat. I see some faces that are really concerned. Okay, who got it? Let me see your boat. I got mine. I think some people need some help. Okay, let's read some verses, and then I want to tell you to do something with this boat. Let's go to Matthew 8, verses 23 through 27. And let's read. It says here, and I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. It says, then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly, a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. Jesus responded, why are you afraid? You have so little faith. Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves. And suddenly there was a great calm. The disciples were amazed. Who is this man? They asked. Even the winds and the waves obey him. I want you to write on your boat, if you can, if you have a pen, and this is the title of the message. When Jesus gets in your boat, it's not to impress you, but to bless you. One more time. When Jesus gets in your boat, it's not to impress you, but to bless you. To help you, amen, to heal you, to restore you. When Jesus gets in your boat, how many of you have Jesus in your boat? Amen. It's a blessing to have Jesus in our boat. I remember one day I was preaching and the Lord told me to do this little boat in church. And There was a family there that the wife came to church that day, and her husband was in the hospital. He was in a coma. He had some situations with his lungs, and it was just a real bad situation. And she took the boat, and she got a revelation. When Jesus gets in my boat, he's not there to impress me, but to help me and to heal me. And she wrote it on the boat, took it to the hospital, and she was telling her husband the whole message. Obviously, he was sleeping because he was in a comatose. And the next day, I went to visit him, and we prayed over him. And like 5 days after, or a week after, he came out of the coma. And like 2 weeks after that, he came to church. And they gave the testimony. And then a year after, she became pregnant, and now they have a handsome son. And when he was a year old, and they did the whole fiesta, the whole party, they went and got some ceramic boats, and they put her on the boats. When Jesus gets in my boat, it's not to impress me, but to bless me. So I'm believing today that the Lord has given you a revelation. I don't know if you're going through some storms or some problems or adversities, but I'm here to tell you that the Lord, when he gets into your life, he's there to bless you. When he gets into your family, he is there to bless you, to help you, to restore you, because he is the Lord. Amen. I don't know about you, but the Lord is in my boat. The Lord is in my life, and he's here to bless me. Amen. And he's going to do mighty things in your life if you believe him. 2 years and a half ago, I was sitting on my table having lunch in Mexico City, eating my tacos with hot, spicy salsa. Never trust a Mexican when he says that the salsa is not spicy. That's a wise advisement for you if you want to survive the Mexican food. And I remember I was sitting down, and the Lord spoke to me, and he told me, "Who is your Lord?" And you know, when there's sometimes that the Lord speaks to you, and you know that he's just this loving God, but sometimes he comes and he's the Lord. And I said, "You are the Lord." And he told me, "You are not your own. I am your Lord." And I said, "Yes, you are my Lord." And he told me, "If I'm your Lord, are you going to do whatever I ask you to do?" And I said, "Yes, Lord." And he told me, "Okay, it's over. You're going back." Yeah, and there was a silence, just like right now. Now, all this time that he was talking to me, I didn't stop eating. I like eating, I have to tell you the truth. So I was chewing, and he talks to your spirit. So he was talking to me. I said, "Yeah, you're the Lord. Yes, I'm not my own. Yeah. Yes, I'm going to do whatever you." And then he says, "Okay, it's over. You're going back." And I almost choke. And I started crying because I knew what he meant. And I don't know if this happens to you, but whenever we cry, our mouth it dries. I don't know if it happens to you, but it happens to me. So I started choking because I didn't have saliva to eat my taco. And it's over. You're going back. Now, what he was talking to me is, you have to leave the church. We were senior pastors in Rema, Coyoacan. 700 people. We were just enjoying life, ministry, and everything. And then the Lord is like, okay, I'm your Lord. You are not your own. And you said you're going to do whatever I say, whatever I tell you to do. And I said, yes, Lord, I'm ready. I was ready in my spirit. I wasn't ready in my soul, in my feelings. So I started crying. Because you know how many times he has done that to me? Many times. 2001, I was enjoying coming to RLCC every single Sunday. Hearing Brother Hagen preach, hearing Keith Butler preach, and all these amazing preachers, and obviously having Pastor Clinton preach every Sunday, and everything was just perfect. And today, they were playing, I got joy like a river. And I remember that Sunday that I was standing in the circle sanctuary, and the Lord told me, you need to go back to Mexico. And you know, praise was playing? I got joy like a river. And probably some of you guys were there and you were dancing. Everybody was dancing. I got joy like a river. And I was crying. Because I was supposed to go back to Mexico, leave New York and the life here and my family. And the Lord was telling me, you have to go back. And you guys were dancing. I got joy like a river. But he's the Lord. Now, he's your Savior. The question is he your Lord? Okay. I know he's your Savior. But the bigger question now is he your Lord? Are you willing to do whatever he says? Because sooner or later, he's going to ask you to do things that is not going to be easy for your flesh, your feelings, your soul. But trust me. It's for the better of eternity and for the souls and for the kingdom of God. Amen. Now, let's go back to the scripture. What was Jesus doing during the storm? Was he praying? Interceding, declaring, decreeing, fasting, worshiping, praying. What is it that he was doing? He was sleeping. There's two things that we can do during a storm. And obviously, because of the time, I'm going to be able just to tell you one. There's two things that you can do during a storm. And obviously, a storm it could be problems, maybe financial issues, situations, maybe sickness, I don't know. Those can be storms in life. And there are many storms in life. And maybe today you are in the middle of a storm. And you don't know what to do. But the first thing we see Jesus doing during a storm is that he was sleeping. Number one, What can you do during a storm? You can go to sleep. Now, out of the two things that I have learned from this message, this first thing is the one that I like the most. Because I like to sleep. I like to eat, and I like to sleep. So you can go to sleep. Is Jesus our example? He is our example. Amen? And he showed us here, what can we do during a problem? Now, we are not supposed to go to a corner and be afraid. Now, they were in the middle of a hard situation, the disciples, and Jesus was sleeping. But we are not supposed to panic. Amen? We are not supposed to be shocked, because once we panic, or once we are fearful, we will not know what to do. Now, I've been in really dangerous situations. I remember one day, we went to a small town in Guerrero, in a mission trip, and there were some students from Rema USA that went to the mission trip. And I remember that we had two buses and one van. And before we got to the town, they came to tell us, guys, you are not allowed to come to the town because the people from the town, they were upset that the Christians were coming to do an event. And we were having the event right in the middle of the plaza of the town in front of the Catholic Church. And we were just doing something with a mission trip and everything and music and everything. And they told us that they're waiting for you with machetes, rocks, and everybody looked at me because I was the pastor, you know. What are you going to do? And to tell you the truth, I know those towns, and I know they're really dangerous. So in my feelings, in my flesh, I was afraid. But in my spirit, Jesus was in my boat. And he was there to help me. So I told him, because there were like a pressure to tell them what to do right away. So for me, it took me a few minutes just to hear the Spirit. What are we going to do in this situation? And the Holy Spirit told me, go to the river and do the event by the river. And you know what? We took the whole missions group. We did the event by the river. The people from the town heard that we were there. They came to the river. We gave them the message. They accepted the Lord, and we baptized them in the river. Amen? Because that's what Jesus does. When he gets in your boat, when he gets in your family, maybe the situation looks dangerous, and you don't know what to do. But Jesus says, don't worry, I'm here. You know that the word says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, but don't worry, I have come so you can have. But watch this. The devil, he comes. Let's say he comes to your door, knocking with problems. And Jesus said, but don't worry, I have come. The devil comes and knocks on your door, and Jesus says, don't worry, I have come. I don't know if you're getting this. The devil comes and knocks on your door with sickness and problems. And Jesus says, don't worry, I have come. I'm already inside your house. So when the devil knocks at your door, don't worry, I'm already in there. And I'm going to help you. Amen. He is going to help us. He has already come. He has already blessed us. Amen. So you don't need to worry. Don't panic. Now, okay. Fear is the opposite of faith. And sometimes fear makes you run from things that are not chasing you. I remember one day, we used to live close to the church, like 2.5 miles. So sometimes I will decide to walk to the church, to the office. And one day, I said, I'm going to walk to the office today. So I started walking, and there was a lady walking in front of me. Now, I know you have heard the news about Mexico and the cartels, and that's true. It's not a movie. It's really dangerous in Mexico City and in old Mexico. So I remember I was walking behind this lady, walking to the office, to the church. And she was walking in front of me, and she kept turning around to see how close I was to her. And I don't know if I looked like a criminal, like El Chapo Guzman, or a drug lord or anything, but she seemed that she was afraid. And she started walking faster, you know. And I was running late to church, to the office, so I started walking faster. And she would go like, and I was just walking fast, you know. And she was like, and obviously she was afraid that maybe I wanted to steal her purse or anything. And I wanted to stop her and tell her, lady, you are actually safe walking in front of me because the Lord is with me and his angels are walking around us. So don't worry. Amen. We don't need to panic. The Lord is with us. He's in our boat. Not to impress us, but to help us, to bless us. Amen. I know that sometimes we have so many situations and problems, and there's people that feel overwhelmed and say, I have these situations and I'm not even able to go to sleep at nights. They get insomnia. But one day, I read in the Bible that God never sleeps. So there is no need for the both of us to be awake. You can go to sleep. You can rest in Him. But you have to learn it. It's not going to be automatic. I'm telling you right now. You have to exercise your faith. And you need to learn how to rest. And how to go to sleep. Not right now, during the message. We do that during nights or at nights. When the disciples went and woke Jesus up. He asked them a question. Why are you afraid? You have so little faith. There are men and women with great faith that are not afraid. There are men and women with little faith and they're afraid. Show me a Christian with little faith, and I will show you a Christian that is afraid. Show me a Christian with great faith, and I will show you a Christian that is not afraid. Amen. Now, let's imagine the whole situation. Right here, what we read. They're in a boat. A storm comes. It was probably cold. The wind was hard. The waves were hitting on the boat. Probably everything was shaking. They didn't have their iPhones 11 or Samsungs to call for help. Hey, we need some help here. They didn't have all of this. Now, just imagine the whole situation. There was probably lightning and thunder. Boom! It was a dangerous situation. It was dark. The boat was sinking. And then when they wake, when they awake Jesus, he gets up and says, oh, poor little thing. Come here. Let me give you a hug. Oh, I knew I shouldn't go to sleep. Come here. He didn't do that. He didn't tell them, I'm sorry that I was sleeping. I will never go back to sleep again. No, he wakes up and he asks them a question. What was the question? Why are you afraid? Let me tell you something. Jesus expects his followers not to be afraid. I'm going to say it again. Jesus expects his followers not to be afraid. Now, I'm going to ask my son Ian to bring me a chair. And I want to end with this illustration. That's my son Ian. Faith. It's a matter of trust before it is a matter of obedience. One more time. Faith is a matter of trust before it's a matter of obedience. Why am I saying this? Because sometimes we as Christians are decreeing, and these things obviously are good. And we are fasting and we are praying. But we are not resting. We are not trusting in the Lord. Now, some people, they will, you know, get all excited and start, they will start declaring, and in the name of Jesus, until they have no voice. Oh, Lord. And they start walking around, and they, you know, that's the problem, that's a storm. And maybe they will carry the problem. And they will go declaring it, and then what they're doing, it works. And faith is trust before it works. I know faith has this action part, but the first part is that you have to trust in the Lord. You need to rest. So I'm going to give you an advice. Tonight, go to your house. Well, before you go to your house, buy that cheesecake that you have been wanting to eat it. Buy the hot chocolate. Sit at your table and enjoy it. And then go to your room and go to sleep. And yeah, I know the problem probably is there. I remember my daughter, when she was like 3 months old, she became very ill with a skin situation. Horrible. For, I think it was 9 months, 7 months. We took her to the hospitals, different doctors, and the situation got worse. And we will, at night, we will wrap her around the whole body like this, because she will get itchy and she will start scratching. And, you know, there was blood all over the bed. So we will do that every single night. And it was horrible. And we will go to church on Sundays. And people will see my daughter like that, really sick. And some, you know, there's mean Christians. I'm sorry, there's Christians, you know, that are not. And they will tell me, Pastor, there's probably sin in your life. That's why God is punishing your daughter. And I will tell the Lord, Lord, take them or I will send them to you. No, I'm just kidding. And she was just really sick. And one day, Brother Jim Hockaday came to Rema, Mexico. And I was sitting in the office with him. And I was telling him, how come my daughter is still sick? And I've been doing all the faith things that we know to do. I was declaring the word. I was praying, fasting, doing all that kind of stuff. It's not bad. I mean, we're supposed to do it. And he told me, Brother Enrique, sometimes you need to learn how to rest in the Lord. And he told me, if you already prayed and you already believe God that your daughter is fine, this is what you have to do. And he took the chair in the office. He sat down. He put his feet under the desk, on the top of the desk. He was resting. Just rest. And when you turn around, you see your daughter, that she's bleeding and she's not all right. You have to rest. Because the Lord has done it. Even if you don't see it. I I know we want to fast. I know we want to declare. But Jesus, during the storm, he was sleeping. Now, I want everyone right now to stand up. So I went to my house. And I said, I need to rest. So I got my hot chocolate, my Mexican bread, and I went to sleep. And the Lord gave me a dream when I was sleeping. And he showed me in the dream that the treatment that my daughter was going under, it was really affecting her. So when I woke up, I went to my wife and I said, that's it, we need to stop doing that. That was, I think, a Wednesday. And we had the church service on Thursday. So we went to church on Thursday. And believe me, my daughter was completely clean, healed. When we got to church, the people, when they saw my daughter, they were like, wow, what happened? I said, the Lord is our healer. But you know, when he gave me the revelation, when I was resting, maybe you're struggling today, or the people that are watching online, and you don't know what to do. And I know that the government hasn't approved the stimulus check again. We don't need to worry about it. Jesus is on our boat. Jesus is in this church. Jesus is in my family. Jesus is in my work, in my office. And he's there to help me, to bless me. Amen. So right now you can sit down and say, thank you, Lord. From now on, I will rest. Hallelujah! 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 He is our helper. He is our provider, and he is in my boat to help me and to bless me. And now my daughter is here. She's completely healed. So I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you need to learn how to rest. Amen. Let us pray. Father, I thank you because you are good and your mercy endures forever. Thank you because we are saved. We are healed. We are forgiven. We are loved by you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We magnify your Lord, your name. We glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there's probably people watching online, and I want to read Romans 10, 9 and 10. From the NIV, and this is what it says. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So I don't know if there's somebody out there that hasn't accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. This is a great opportunity to do it. So I'm going to do a prayer, and if you want to do it with me, to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can do this prayer. Let's do it. Jesus, I confess you as my Lord and Savior today. Come into my heart. I believe God raised you from the dead so I can be saved. I give you my heart. I give you my life and everything I am. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for accepting me into the family of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, RCC family, for this time. I bless you and have a happy new year. Pastors, thank you.